Canadian writer Margaret Atwood has just finished a new book, which is due out in 2114. That's not a typo on my piece of paper. The book has already been written, but it's not going to be published for another 100 years. Atwood's the first writer to contribute to a new piece of public art that is an absolute rip-snorter of an idea. It's going to unfold over the period of a century, which is ambitious by any artistic measure. And I'm speaking to the Scottish artist behind it, Katie Patterson, today. Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am very well. Tell us about the Future Library.
So Future Library is a very slow, long, unfolding artwork that's going to take place in Norway over the next 100 years. So I've planted a forest, which in 100 years' time will be cut down, pulped, and made into paper, which will be made into a book that's written now, but never read until 100 years have passed. So we're commissioning one writer a year for every 100 years to write a piece that they'll submit to the Future Library that will be held in trust and then printed on the paper made from these trees in 100 years' time.
It's such a beautiful idea. I mean, it says so much about time and kind of lasting legacy of literature and all kinds of things. But I've got to say, Katie, you're not reading the newspaper at the moment, are you? It seems unduly optimistic to think 100 years.
Absolutely, and especially given that we just had the Scottish referendum and we lost. We didn't get our independence when I was looking forward 100 years. But yeah, it is. It's an optimistic project. As Margaret Atwood said, actually, it assumes there's a reader in the future, but most of all, it assumes there's still a human race in 100 years' time. I'm optimistic and I'm hopeful, and so I think Future Library is hopeful in its essence, that it does look forward and kind of help us take this imaginary leap into this future time and place and these unborn readers, and of what on earth they'll think when they open this book and what they'll think when they read the first page.
I have to say, Atwood is such an inspired choice for the first writer for the project. I imagine any wish list you had, she would have been pretty high up the top.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely overjoyed that Margaret Atwood has said yes to being the first writer. So we have the Future Library Trust, it's made up of some literary professionals, like we have the director of the Booker Prize in the UK, some Norwegian literary directors. And so the trust is responsible for shortlisting and selecting the authors, and I'm on the trust as well. And so Margaret Atwood just seemed like the absolute kind of perfect author, given that her writing, well, just anyway, it spans generations and across time. And she helps us take this leap into, you know, often very dystopian futures. And I think Future Library, in a way, is taking the same kind of leap. And it's 100 years, which is a huge expanse of time, but it's not so long that we can't imagine it. And often in Margaret Atwood's writing, she is looking forward about 100 years to things that really could happen. You know, I think that's what's so incredible. She writes about things that either have happened or could happen, and Future Library kind of preempts thinking about this unborn generation and what on earth might happen between now and 100 years' time.
I do love the idea that so much of her writing will be kind of effectively historical fiction by the time this project unfolds, you know,
yes.
Year of the Flood or
Mad Adam.
But, you know, she's not terribly optimistic by and large. Did she talk to you about how she was going to approach the writing of the book for it, the kind of subject matter?
Well, so she's being very, very quiet about what she's writing, which I'm glad of, because we're really asking that that Margaret keeps what she's writing about to herself, and she's able to work with maybe one editor or a translator if she chooses, but her process, I'm intrigued. Is she going to write to a future or about a future, and then if she does write about a future, for example, with the Mad Adam trilogy, what will that have come true in 100 years? You know, will people be reading that and actually be in that moment that she describes? So that's what I think is just incredible, that she's the first author. I think she writes about the future, she writes through time, and it's so kind of visionary and very imaginative. And in a way, Future Library is also working with that area of the imagination because it's real. The forest is growing, the writers are writing. But everything else, in a way, is a fiction because the readers don't exist yet and we can't even predict that they will.
I'm not sure I would share your extraordinary willpower in not opening up the big brown envelope or the file on the computer and seeing what you'd written. Are you really so controlled that this book is going to sit there unread for 100 years?
Oh, my goodness, I know. It's very, very tempting, believe me. But even Margaret herself has actually bought a kind of special wax that she's going to seal her box with that nobody can get it open for 100 years. And even the Future Library Trust, you know, we're signing agreements between us that nobody gets to read the piece. Of course, it's incredibly tempting, but then it's so part of the idea that it doesn't get read until the forest is fully grown. So an artwork for a future generation.
So you're prepared for the possibility that Margaret Atwood's put a rubber chicken in the box and a small piece of paper that just says, ha ha, and nothing else.
Well, who knows? I mean, that's always a possibility. What I do know is that she's been out and got herself some archival paper that's going to last the 100 years at least, because she's worried that when people open up the boxes, they'll find dust in 100 years' time. But we're also taking care of that because I'm actually working on a special room in the new Oslo Library, which is going to hold the 100 manuscripts. It's going to be a room that visitors can come in and sit down, and they can see the author's name, the title of the text, and the year it was written in. But everything else takes place in their mind.
I love the seriousness with which she is approaching it. Special paper, special seal for the box. Tell me, though, why Oslo? Why have you not planted a forest somewhere in Scotland?
Well, good question. Why not in Scotland, where I am right now? I had the idea for Future Library several years ago. I think it was at least 4 years ago. And I remember sketching some tree rings and just making a quite sudden connection between tree rings, chapters, books, paper, pulp, trees, forest, future, and kind of having this vision of this forest growing, which would almost contain these books and contain the author's ideas. So that was several years ago, and then I got invited to go to Norway as part of a conference called Slow Space. And it was all about artworks that would unfold over slow time and thinking about slowness generally. And then I got commissioned to make a public artwork, and everything fell together. And I thought, Norway, perfect, because Oslo is literally surrounded by forest. It seeps into the city and the city seeps into the forest. So I really thought maybe the forest just exists differently in people's psyches. And also I think the Norwegians' kind of forward-looking sustainability, environmentalism, it just felt like it could really, really work there. And I wasn't wrong, because they've just really embraced the project. And it's been really quite easy. You know, we've been gifted the forest by the city, and we're working with the architects, and the foresters have worked with us really closely to ensure all the planting, and they've given us the 1,000 trees and so on. So far, so good.
It's just extraordinary. In the final kind of minute or so that we've got, I don't want to be too morbid here, but is there a note of melancholy setting off on a project that you know you're not going to see to fruition yourself? I mean, you might. I don't know. You're probably very healthy.
Oh, I think it's pretty unlikely I'll see it through. And I did choose 100 years because that's kind of just beyond, you know, a human lifespan. And what's kind of strange is with my other projects, I work with space and time and the cosmos, and I've even, you know, I've worked with materials that are billions of years old. And so actually 100 years is the shortest time span that I've worked in yet. But because it's so close to human time span, I think it feels more confronting. So it is really strange to be starting a project that I know I'm not going to live to see. But then on the other hand, there's quite a freedom in kind of letting go. And, you know, we set up the structure for Future Library, inviting the authors. We have the trust, the forest is growing and so on. And so from now on, it's just going to kind of run, even if I wasn't here, even though I will be here. I'm going to be part of the trust for as long as I live. I'm surprisingly optimistic, because I'm hoping that there will be a future readership for the book, and that's important.
Is the Future Library Trust going to do anything with children or schools to train up the next generation of custodians of the project?
Absolutely. So along with the room in the Oslo Library that I'm designing, we're actually going to be storing a printing press and then using that to teach the next generations how to print books. We've already started some paper making classes with some of the wood that we cut from the forest to clear some space to grow the new trees. So that's definitely going to be important, because who knows from this moment onwards what's going to happen to the status of the printed book. I mean, I'm very hopeful that it will still exist, but you know, you look back 100 years and just how impossible to be able to predict what, you know, these 100 years have held. So jumping forward 100 years, who knows how the book will exist then. So I think it is really important that we put everything in place to make it possible to cut the trees, pulp them and print these books.
Well, I have no idea what it'll look like, but I'm pretty sure Amazon are probably taking pre-orders already. That's just a guess.
You never know. I know we've got to be so careful to shut up all of these books and their boxes and make sure nobody gets hold of them.
Well, good luck standing guard for 100 years at the side of a Norwegian forest. It sounds like a fairy tale kind of project, and it's been so good to talk to you today.
Thank you so much. You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie. Katie Patterson's a Scottish artist. She's the artist behind The Future Library, a project that's going to see 100 of the world's best writers contribute their words to a new anthology that'll be published in 100 years. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN. I'm Michael Williams.